Welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. For today, we have on the show the incredible, the amazing, the badass, the superstar, the incredible James. James, how are you, man?
I'm very good. How are you, Dan? It's always good to be back here.
Right? I mean, what better way to have an incredible, badass day than to be chatting with someone as badass as you? You know what I mean?
And you, my friend. This is it's always a blast.
I love it. Now, for those who are new to the channel, don't forget to leave a like, subscribe, follow, help a lot. But most important, on the description below, you're going to find all of James' social media. Let's follow him. You can put pause here for a while. Go follow him. Make him viral. Hashtag Team James, and then come back. Now, without further more, let's jump in. So, for this episode, we're going to be basically chatting about the top films of all time, currently to IMDb. We'll see if we agree or not, if we perhaps we could switch films here and there, and we'll see what happens. All right?
Cool. All right.
Cool. So at number one on this list, we have the Shawshank Redemption. What do you think about that one?
Okay. That is a phenomenal movie. I actually don't know what the list is, so I'll be surprised every number you say, but I love that movie. I think it definitely is. It's probably a top 10 for me. Would I say it's my favorite movie of all time? I mean, you know, when you're for movies, you know, there's so many different genres and so many different styles. It's hard to kind of, but as far as like an overall just story goes, it's satisfying. It's satisfying. It, you know, I recently actually rewatched it this Christmas, and I hadn't seen it for a long time because I think I saw it when I was maybe a teenager or something. So I went back and I was like, I kind of want to see what this is all about. And man, it gut punched me. Like, it's so good. You hate the bad, like the way the story unfolds, they just make you hate this, the prison warden so much. And you get such a good payoff at the end. For people that haven't seen that movie, it's definitely 100% one of my top 10. So I think, you know, it's very suiting that it's up there. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love that. That film, it's definitely one of my favorite films. I mean, I will rewatch it perhaps like every once a month, you know, or twice a month, you know, because I do love that film. It's a pretty cool one. And like the performances are amazing. I mean, Morgan Freeman, incredible job. Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
Like the way he's like narrating the whole story on it. And and the fact that they mentioned Mexico, it's so funny that that he goes to a place called Zihuatanejo, which I've been there. And it was pretty cool. I love that film.
After I rewatched it, I got pretty obsessed with it, and I went and watched a bunch of behind the scenes stuff. And did you know that they originally didn't have that ending where they meet each other?
They didn't?
So they didn't have that ending. Don't quote me on this, but I think it was the director's cut just had Morgan Freeman kind of driving off towards the border, and they just wanted people to imagine it. But I think when they started showing it to people, there was a lot of people that just felt like it was a little unsatisfying. They wanted to see them together again after like how harrowing everything was.
Yeah, of course.
So they went back and reshot the scene in Mexico on the beach or whatever. They probably like did it shot in LA or something like that. But they went and shot that, or maybe they actually traveled for it, who knows. They had a lot of money for film back then, but then they added that in, and damn it, like, you know, I tear up every time that I definitely teared up on at Christmas when I watched it when that happened. You just, because it's just, you know, the brotherhood and the how much they went through together, it they give you that satisfying ending, which is it's nice, because they could have ended more ambiguous.
It ends perfectly. It definitely touches like a lot of topics, it's a incredible film. I love it. And you know, like every now and then, whenever I have those feelings, I'm like, I want to do the same thing, you know, just buy some place random in the middle of a beach and just create a business there, doing, you know, just enough to survive, things like that, you know. But but besides that, the film is incredible. I mean, it's and like the thing that shocked me the most the first time I saw it is that it's based on a novel by Stephen King.
I forgot. Yeah, it is. Damn, that guy's a genius.
I remember, like, when I saw him, I was like, wait a minute, that was the guy who traumatized me with It. He can't be, I mean, what I'm about to see on this film, and it's a total different thing, like totally different, but it's amazing.
It kind of checks out, because he also wrote Green Mile, right? Stephen King, and that same director who directed Shawshank directed Green Mile. So there is like there is a lot of, if you really think about Shawshank Redemption, there it is kind of a horrific film in the sense of what the guy has to go through to find his redemption, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's terrifying.
Yeah,
being framed and
Yeah, no, hell no. But yeah, it is definitely on top one for sure. I agree. So we both agree on that one, right?
I
That
agree.
one.
Now, did it win? I don't know if we can do. I can do a Google search right now. Did it win Best Picture that year? I don't think it did. Maybe it did. It should have. But I'm so curious. Like, I kind of want to see Shawshank, Best Picture.
I think it did. I'm pretty sure it did.
I hope so. What is it? Shawshank Redemption. Best Picture. Okay, it was nominated.
Well, but didn't win.
It won none.
You're kidding me.
It won none. It was nominated for
Man.
Best Picture, Best Actor. That is
Nothing.
empty-handed. It left the Academy empty-handed. I don't know which movie won that year. Oh, it was going up against Forrest Gump.
Oh. Oof.
That's a great movie too.
Yeah,
That's a
that's a
great movie
great. Yeah,
too.
I get it. Yeah, that's a
But
tough one. Tough call.
still though, I mean, oh yeah, they're both timeless. They're both timeless. How do you compare those? Those are just,
Yeah, you can't
but
compare
damn,
them.
they should have given it at least a couple though, because that movie was
For
phenomenal.
sure, for sure. Yeah, I'm surprised, but yeah, now you put it with Forrest Gump. Yeah, it's a tough call.
Yeah, but it did. Forrest Gump didn't make number one movie on the IMDb list, so.
No, actually, no. And you'd be surprised at what number it is. But anyway, so for number two, we have The Godfather.
Okay, I'm glad. I've actually seen so far the. I feel like I'm gonna get embarrassed if you say something that I haven't seen yet, because being a film buff, I pride myself on seeing everything. But Godfather is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
What else can you say? I mean, the making. There's that great show. Did you watch the show about the making of The Godfather?
No, I didn't. No, yeah, I didn't watch that
It's
one.
phenomenal. It's based on like a book about like how crazy it was, and they were literally going up against the mafia because the mafia didn't want the movie made because of the way it portrayed them. And like, The Godfather is a phenomenal movie. I mean, I'd say it deserves to be on the top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a particular taste. Like it might not make my top 10, as far as like movies that hit me, but I can see why the world would think that it's a top 10.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It is a great. Who was the actor who did who played Vito
Marlon
Corleone?
Brando.
There you go. Yeah, that one. I mean, he did an incredible performance on that one.
Yeah, and Al Pacino's in it. I mean, and he was a nobody when they cast him. Like
Right? Yeah.
the studio didn't want him because he wasn't like traditionally attractive or whatever. And like the director was like, we gotta get this. This guy is so good. I think he almost walked because they like to have Al Pacino. But it's a great movie.
Yeah, I
And
saw. Yeah, it's incredible. I saw an interview once with Al Pacino that he was saying that for the first one they didn't want him.
they didn't want him.
Yeah,
And
they
then it
didn't
made a career for him. It literally made him a star, that movie, so.
want. Yeah, and he became like the icon of the mafia films, you know?
Literally, yeah, that's like totally.
Totally, yeah. Now for number three, we got
Yeah.
The Dark Knight. What do you think?
That movie is almost next to flawless for me. I love it. It deserves to be. It's on my top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, number three all-time movies. That's incredible. That it's a superhero film about Batman and the Joker. But it's so. I remember I got chills the first time I saw that movie in theaters. I went to IMAX. I remember like I literally remember where I was sitting in the theater, and I remember when the lights come down, and you get that city shot, and then the bank heist. Like barely can like breathe the whole time. I was like on the edge of my seat for the whole movie. Every time Joker came on screen, Heath Ledger just gives you the chills. Like it's so rare to have characters in movies just disturb, like to affect you that way. Like you never know what he's gonna do. Like it's the performance was a masterclass. The film itself was amazing. It's on my top 10 for sure. To get nitpicky, I felt like the third, like the only thing I would ever like, I think it's a near perfect film. I think the only thing I would maybe change about it is the third act felt like a little rushed, when they add in Two-Face and all that stuff.
Yeah, they should have focused only on the Joker and
They didn't
and
need Two-Face.
yeah,
They didn't need him.
it need yeah, it didn't need him. Yeah, I do
Or
agree
they
on
could
that one.
have maybe had him, he could have got burned or whatever, and then like set that up for the dark the third one,
Yeah.
They could have set that. They just because oh man, there was so much, and I know it, like they were using his character kind of as a as a storytelling thing between the Batman and the Joker and good and evil. I get all that, but I just felt like there was a little bit too much at the end that they crammed in. But overall, man, what a phenomenal film.
Yeah. I do think that that is like the best superhero films of all time.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Totally. And I would almost, Guardians is up there for me too.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Yeah.
In a different way, mm-hmm. but Guardians is almost like a space opera. I don't even know if it counts as a superhero film. So, you know, it's almost more in the realm of Star Wars.
But it's incredible. I remember when the last one was in cinema, I did it. Man, it hit me that film hit me in so many ways. Like the volume 3. Oh yeah. Man, but it was incredible. And I remember that I love the fact that I started like to think like I'm actually crying. I was actually crying for a CGI raccoon. You know, like how nonsense is that? But it's like the whole way they pictured it. Yeah, it was incredible. But as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, they're not like superheroes, you know, as Iron Man, Captain America, you know, people like that. But yeah, it's a different realm. But between like in superhero stuff, definitely those two would be like my top by far. So
me too. And Dark Knight probably edges it out because it really is a true superhero movie. Like, true. And Christopher Nolan.
So yeah. Plus, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that one they record in Canada, right? The Dark Knight.
I don't know. That'd be cool. I don't know if it was recorded in Canada. I don't think so, but maybe it might have been.
I think it was.
That's really cool. If it was,
I think I heard something like. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think I heard something like that the other day.
Dark Knight
film in
Canada.
No, it was actually most of the film were done in Chicago.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, they do shoot Toronto for Chicago a lot, so I'm gonna be surprised. But
and also, it says here that the majority of film shoots were done in Chicago, and its suburbs, but also London managed to grab a substantial chunk of the shooting locations. London,
yeah, for the darker Gotham stuff.
Yeah, makes sense.
The gritty. They wanted the gritty kind of London
area. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right. So number four, we have The Godfather Part Two. What do you think?
Love it. It's, to be honest, it's been a long time since I've seen either The Godfather or Godfather Part Two, but I probably, if I remember correctly, I think I liked Godfather Part Two more. As an overall film.
The second one is in Cuba.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, most of the film is in Cuba. Yeah.
Robert De Niro, I think, enters the fray.
He was super young.
Yeah.
Extremely young, and though.
Francis Ford Coppola, like, he knew how to cast actors. He found some like just incredible talent for those movies.
Totally.
I don't remember much about him, to be honest, because it's been so long since I watched him. I got to do a rewatch. But I'd say it fits on there. Okay. Maybe not necessarily, once again, not my personal top
ten. Totally. Yeah, I got it.
Worldwide, I get it. That makes sense.
Now, for number five, we have 12 Angry Men.
I have not seen this yet. Yeah, I know I need to. I need to watch it. I hear it's a really fascinating, I know a little bit about it. I hear it's a really fascinating tale on, because you know the premise, right? It's like these 12 jurors are deciding on whether a guy's guilty or not. Mm-hmm, I think a murder. And every 11 of them say, no, he's guilty. And only one of them says, no, he's not guilty. Let's talk this out. And they all want to go home. Yeah. And it's about him swaying each juror over to his side. So it's a really cool, almost a masterclass in film, but also like persuasion and how you can kind of, you know, how people can change their minds and different techniques that you can use to kind of, you know, help people see the truth and mob mentality, you know? So it sounds like a cool movie. That's all I know about it, but I want to see it one day.
Yeah, same here. I didn't watch it too. And I've also heard that there is, you know, for some of the actors that I've interviewed, that they watch the play.
I heard the play is really good too. I mean, it's a good setting for a play, right? Just 12 dudes on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for number six, we got The Schindler List.
Incredible. Incredible film. I mean, powerful. It almost feels like a historical documentary, you know? It's so well done. so intense. The red, I just remember the red coat, like that scene is amazing. The movie's beautiful, cast incredible. That was Steven Spielberg at his finest. I mean, because I know his family is connected to the Holocaust, he felt like such a burden and to make this film right. And he probably barely slept at all during the pre-production and production of it. But what he delivered was phenomenal. Yeah.
Plus, maybe I'm wrong, but was it also one of the first Liam Neeson projects he was in?
Liam Neeson. I mean, it probably put him on the map as like an A-lister, but I think he was acting like a lot.
Yeah, way before that. Yeah. But I think that film was kind of the catapult, right?
Yeah. And Ralph Fiennes too, man. Like playing that bad guy. Like he plays him so well, this just German, you know, commander guy.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor. Yeah.
And that incredible. After that, he just played some incredible villain roles. Like he, you know, just complex. Like, God, yeah, that movie is. That movie was definitely a star vehicle for a couple of phenomenal actors. So, you know,
now so far with the list, would you change one to be like, you know what, I will be putting this one at number, for example, let's say, would you put The Dark Knight at number two, or be like, you know what, no, it's fair, or be like, no, I'll be changing.
It's hard to know. At this point, I would probably, I mean, Shawshank is pretty strong. Number one, can't complain there. I mean, having the Dark Knight at number three excites me.
Yeah.
I'd probably put it above The Godfather personally, just because as far as the movies that I enjoy, it's like it's up there. It's hard to say about 12 Angry Men because I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
If I got to rewatch The Godfathers, but I honestly, if I remember correctly, I almost would put Godfather Part Two before Part One. As far as just an overall storytelling experience goes, I remember just liking it way more.
Yeah,
but there's always the thing about the original, because it sets, you know, it's like the Empire Strikes Back syndrome, or like the sequels that come out, they don't have to do all the work of setting up the characters again, you know, they can just almost like before TV series were a big thing. It was like the middle movie in a trilogy was almost the way where you could like just explore all those things. So I thought that was pretty incredible.
All right, so the next one here for number seven, we have The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Whoa, that they're putting that before
Two Towers,
Fellowship. Or Two Towers. Yeah, interesting. I mean, it's a good movie. I loved it when it came out. I loved that trilogy greatly, but I would, that one rings a little weird to me. I'd put like the first Lord of the Rings before Return of the King.
Sure. You know, one of the things that I didn't, I mean, the film is amazing, The Return of the King, but what I kind of a little bit hate is the fact that there has like four endings, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so frustrating. Like, this is the ending. I'm kidding. Yeah. This is the ending, you know? And I was like, when is it going to end? You know what I mean?
It was really, I saw it in theaters. It was very hard to sit, like, you know, I think at that point everybody just had to pee, and you think it's over, you think you got like 30 minutes left, and then all of a sudden there's like another hour.
You're like, are you kidding me now?
And I get it was like Peter Jackson not wanting to let go is what it kind of felt like. He didn't want to let go of those characters. You felt the love of that in it, but it also, as an overall movie, they could have shortened that ending like probably like 30 minutes if they wanted to.
I mean, that is the only thing why I'm like, but the Fellowship and the Two Towers, to me personally, the Two Towers would be kind of first, then the Fellowship, and finishing with Return of the King by far.
Yeah. Once again, it's the whole like middle movie in a trilogy thing where you just get to have fun, get dark, because you don't have to like wrap it all up. I'd almost agree. Like, I think I enjoy Two Towers as an overall movie more. I think it's the shortest one too, if I'm not mistaken.
Perhaps it is. Yeah,
it might be. But it you just have fun, have battles, and you don't have to resolve anything, and you don't have to like spend a bunch of the movie like setting up the characters. So it's great.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah. Right. So at number eight we have Pulp Fiction. What do you think?
Love it. That's in my top 10 for sure. One of my favorite movies of all time. Tarantino, I got a soft spot for him. I basically love everything he does. But Pulp Fiction is is a movie that affected me deeply when I saw it. Oh yeah, I've watched it so many times.
Okay.
Just not just as an actor, because the acting in it is incredible, but I think when I was younger too, I always wanted to be a filmmaker, which I do dabble in a little bit of too, like writing and producing and, and all that. But and hopefully directing one day. I want to direct a feature. But you know, just as a filmmaker, like, his voice is so unique, and the way he told that story is so you know, non-traditional. Like, the structure of it is all over the place, and he proved that you don't need to, like, follow this, like, set formula to, like, make something incredible, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like a formulaic film by any means. And he changed the game, I think, when he made that movie. Like, a lot of people tried to copy it after to, like, better and less success, but one of my favorite movies of all time. I'd probably put that, God, I might even put that number one for me, or maybe, you know, it's definitely, it might be my top three.
Okay. Love it. I'll leave it like that. I mean, his Quentin films are, I also love, what he does. It's incredible. A couple of days ago, I rewatched Hateful Eight. Definitely one of my favorite westerns of all time, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And he's incredible. I mean, his pictures are super cool.
Yeah. Agreed.
By far.
Agreed.
So at number nine, here's the thing. So at number nine, we have the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring. Now, the thing here that I was thinking about is, for example, would it be better if we leave at number seven the whole Lord of the Ring of the Rings trilogy instead of, you know, I think would be kind of better.
If you can count trilogies, then I would say, yeah, probably in my top 10, if you could count trilogies, Lord of the Rings would be there. Godfather would be there. You know, if you could just count, like, full trilogies, but I get that as a standalone piece, you know, it's a movie. So I get that they don't do that. But it is fascinating that the third one's higher ranked than the first one, yet Godfather is the... It's interesting. I don't necessarily agree with it, but
So we'll leave it like that.
Great movie.
Yeah. For next, we have Forrest Gump.
Cool. Good. Fantastic film. Love it. Yeah. I mean, it's not on my top 10, but I also like, I think I have a darker sensibility of, like, content that I like, you know, like, so I would probably even put, if I had a top 10, there'd probably be a horror or two that would make my list too, but you know, Forrest Gump is a phenomenal film. It's Spielberg at his finest, Tom Hanks at his finest. You know, I remember actually going back to The Fellowship. I saw that I was at Disneyland when I was young, and I forget, I had the afternoon to myself, so I just went to a movie by myself.
Okay.
And I was a little bit late for walking in, and as I was, like, walking in, it was like the orcs in Fellowship, like, they were, like, there was the big war going on during, like, the opening monologue. And I just remember, like, walking in, and I think I was in, like, grade 9 or something, and I was terrified, because it was so intense. Like, those orcs really felt scary, and once again, that's what I love, like, the way that they do that with Joker and the Dark Knight. The way that the orcs in that Fellowship just feel dangerous, you know? And it's hard to do that nowadays, actually, you know. And I just remember, like, just getting pretty anxious, even just like every time they were on screen, you know. Masterful.
Do you think that would be because, for example, nowadays they will rely more on CGI, and back then it was more on the human side, let's say, somehow, you know what I mean?
Probably, yeah, because that was probably at the pinnacle of our use of, you know, prosthetics and what we could do there. And now it is going more to just, like, having the actors with little dots on their head and then figuring it out, which I'm sure will get seamless in no time. But yeah, it probably does have a lot to do with practical, because they felt real. Like, those orcs, they felt like, it felt visceral, you know, looking at them.
But, and also what I love about, you know, like, the whole franchise is on the second one, when Gollum appears, which was played by Andy Serkis, was it?
I mean,
I do consider, like, he's, like, the best actor in motion capture ever. You know,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the way he did for Gollum or for Planet of the Apes, he also appeared that one too. And yeah. I mean, yeah, he's incredible.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, the guy's a genius, and it's cool to see. I think he's directing now. He directed a movie. He's like, he's doing a lot more. You know, he played Alfred and the Batman.
Like, oh yeah.
He's doing a lot more, you know, not CGI characters. But he's a phenomenal actor. Oh, he's also in Black Panther. Great role.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, I would definitely saying that, yeah, that Andy Serkis is like the godfather of motion capture.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Now, for the next one, Fight Club. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that one?
Oh, is that 11?
Or 10? Or no, wait. So right now, I mean, we removed Angry Men because, you know, we haven't watched it. So
okay,
top of the list.
Cool.
Then so at the moment we are at Shang be the one, Godfather the second, third Dark Knight,
yeah,
fourth The Godfather Part Two, fifth The Lord of the Rings. You know, like the whole trilogy.
Yeah.
Six would be The Schindler List. Seven would be Pulp Fiction. Eight would be Forrest Gump, and nine would be Fight Club, and so that's how we are right
Fight now. Club, I love, I think Fight Club is incredible. It's one of my favorite movies. It's probably on my top 10. I love it. I love Edward Norton and Brad Pitt in it. Hella Bonham Carter also steals the show. Yeah, the acting, the premise, the overall message about just like, you know, consumer culture, and it's just such a punk rock hardcore movie, and it's like it almost surprises me to this day that it was like released by a big studio, and I remember actually hearing about this, but they didn't market it properly. I don't think it did that well in the box office initially because they kind of marketed it as just bros fighting movie, like Fight Club, boom boom, and just Brad Pitt with his shirt off. So a lot of people just went to the movie having no idea what it was, and they were, I think when you go into that movie expecting some sort of just action fight movie, you might have been let down. But like whatever point I saw it in my life, I was blown away by it. I was like, this is some next level, like just punk rock filmmaking. I loved it.
Yeah, I think that film, I heard that too, that wasn't that good at the box office, but later on became big, and it became basically like an icon. So
yeah, it was bought, and that happens sometimes to really great movies where the marketing companies just fail it for whatever reason. They just don't understand the film, and they're not able to like connect it to people. So
like for the one they did for Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory back in 1971, you know, I heard that film when it was released wasn't that big much of a deal, but later on it became big.
That it's cool when that happens, where films find their life spot,
right?
And it happened a lot more back in the day when DVD was a thing, you know, when people go to rent and then all of a sudden they'd be like, oh, this is a big hit on DVD, because I worked at a video store during that time, and I would remember some movies that I barely even heard of in theaters all of a sudden were renting out like crazy because word of mouth and, you know, and that kind of thing. So it was cool. It was like a second shot at box office essentially back in the day with DVD rentals.
Those were the days. I love them. That back then the whole DVD place became like a social place to meet with friends, you know, that you will hang out with friends and be like, what's new? And and also, I remember when it was with the VHS, and they were saying, "Be kind and rewind," something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And like going there and to hurry up to deliver at time, otherwise they're gonna charge you like a fee on that. Yeah, those were cool days.
Oh, I remember late fees were a funny one, because you know, people would come in and I'd be like, sir, you have $50 of late charges or whatever. And I think that the stores made a lot of money off late charges, so they didn't want you to waive them too often. But I think if people were nice, I would like waive them or whatever. It's like you had the power. But I also I did have to rewind tapes. We had like tape rewinders, you know, for there was a little bit of VHS left when I was working there, not a lot, but you had to rewind them, and you know.
That was cool,
crazy.
right?
Oh yeah, like the best job ever. I'd probably still like work part time at a video store if they were around, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, different time, but yeah, it was cool. The other day, one of my little cousins found the old VHS box that my mom has, and he was wondering like, what is that? And I was just start laughing like, different times, you know?
Dude, I had
Different
so
times.
many. I wish I didn't give away, but I had so many VHS. Like, I had just a massive collection that I just decided to give away. I think I was like trying to be minimalist or something, but I had so many VHS, and that was like that got me through my teen years. I just watched so many movies, like
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction was one of them. Yeah, exciting times.
And you know,
Oh, Fight
it's,
Club for sure.
yeah, and you know, it sucks when you find out that that type of memory, that like the VHS tapes and things like that become somehow in memorabilia, and
I know.
suddenly you find out that
I know.
that there's some people who actually will buy those at a crazy
Yeah.
price, and you're like, ah, oh, crap, why, you
I
know, like
know.
why, you know, the other day like something like that happened, and I was just like, why the hell I just didn't sell it instead of just giving away back then, you know?
You know, you
Crazy
can't beat
times.
yourself up over too much, but you're right. There's I think I had some that haven't even been released on DVD yet, so it's like some of them would probably be worth quite a lot, because
Yeah.
especially those old Disney ones are, I think, are crazy. You know, the diamond collection that they have, like, those sell for crazy amounts of money now. And
Now for next one, we have Inception. What do you think about that one?
personally, that's top, like, I guess that's top 11 then, if we're discounting Angry Men or whatever. Personally, it's a good movie. I love Christopher Nolan, respect the hell out of him as a filmmaker. Me personally, I don't love that movie. I wouldn't put it on my top 10. I like the ideas of it, and obviously the visual storytelling and everything, but my only kind of what I didn't love about it was, like, in Act Three, it just became some generic action movie, you know, with the snow hill, and they're just going down. Remember, they're just kind of like skiing down this hill, and there's all this stuff going on, and it just kind of lost me in the third act. It just felt like kind of, I don't know. And once again, this is like the guy's a master. I'm not critiquing Christopher Nolan, but for me, as an overall film, I didn't love it. I didn't love it. I wouldn't put it on my top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good fi yeah, it's a cool film, but yeah, the same thing here for me. I mean, it didn't, yeah, I mean, it was a good one, but I wouldn't be like to put it like on top, and also top on like my personal top. No, not at all.
Yeah, not mine, but I do get why people like it. It's a cool concept. It's a cool concept.
So, next one here, we got Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What do you think?
Oh, loved it. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite superhero movies ever. It's incredible. I didn't really expect, being a cartoon, like, I'm not really a huge cartoon fan. Like, I like animation, but I don't it's not like something that I personally go out of my way to watch. So that when I knew it was a cartoon, I probably just, oh, okay, some, kids movie. But, like, I was, like, legitimately engaged, and I loved every second of that movie. I haven't seen the second one yet, but I will. Loved it. Would I put it on my top 10? It probably wouldn't make my top 10, but it's probably in my top, like, five superhero movies for sure. It's great, great film.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it like the thing with animated, for example, I do enjoy the animated ones from DC, for example. They really create really cool stuff. But yeah, definitely this one. Yeah, I could put it too.
Yeah, it'd probably make my top five animated films too of all time, if I was to put that in a category. But overall film, not for me, but it's great, great film.
So, couple of more here. Next one, we got Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
Agreed. That should be on the list. Yeah, that's a great movie. And once again, it's the whole sequel thing, right? Like, it's dark. It's like the middle, those middle films in the trilogy: Two Towers, Empire Strikes Back, Godfather Part Two. There's something about, like, a good. I love it. Like, it's like that almost excites me to make a trilogy one day more than anything else. Is like just that middle movie, and like how dark you can get with it, and take your characters through the darkness, and then end on a cliffhanger. you know?
Yeah.
Like think about back in the day how crazy that would have been to see in a theater, you know? Like that was groundbreaking, and I couldn't even imagine. Like once you find out that Darth Vader's his father, he like chops his hand off. He's like, you know, he's literally like, it's such a crazy ending for a big studio film, and it's such a big gamble, you know. But they pulled it off, and Han Solo gets frozen in carbonite, like everyone's favorite character gets frozen. Like you're like, holy shit! But genius marketing too, because they knew everyone was gonna have to watch the third one, because they were just like, they left so many things untied.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, that one was. I saw an interview the other day about that Mark Hamill did knew about the whole Vader being his father, but the rest of the cast didn't, you know. So that was like a huge thing when like when everybody knew, we're like, what? You know, like super excited, you know. But yeah, that film was, yeah, and back, yeah, back in his day, it was like the cutting edge film, you know. Technology and everything was top notch. So yeah.
The Hoth scenes, I mean, it really felt like another world. And then introducing Yoda, it's a masterpiece. It's a
Yeah.
masterpiece. It's probably on my top 10
Yeah.
movies. Just
What do you think about the prequels?
personally, didn't love them. Didn't love them. I think when they came out, I was like a little, you know, you get to that stage where you're like an older teenager and you're looking for, I think they made a mistake. I think they should have gone darker with the prequels as opposed to lighter. You know what I mean? They kind of made kids movies
Yeah. I mean, the
for
last one.
people. Yeah, the last one was a little dark. You're right. Episode three.
Yeah,
But it just felt,
that one.
yeah. I don't know. Personally, I just felt like they, you know, and I love the Darth Maul fight with Duel of the Fates to this day is still incredible. Like that fight was worth seeing episode one. I remember seeing it in theaters and be like, yeah, this was awesome. But then like you watch it again. I got it on DVD and I was like, I don't know. It just like they're good. And with the new ones that Disney made, that you have a whole new appreciation, you know, for them. But they're good, but I don't know. There's something. If anything, I almost feel like I wish they had made them for the people that grew up with Star Wars as opposed to a new generation of kids, you know? They made a whole bunch of new Star Wars fans out of them, but I don't know. You know, they're still like, they still have a soft spot in my heart, and the third one does end pretty brutally.
Yeah, the end one is pretty good. The second one I did enjoy it, but mostly on the ending when the clones appear, and I was like, that's so cool, you know, when all of the clones, the whole clone army appears. And then later on they released like the whole Clone Wars on Cartoon Network back then. And yeah, that was really cool. But yeah, in terms of the prequels, yeah, definitely the best one will have to be the third one by far, The Revenge of the Sith.
And it's kind of sad what happened to Jar Jar Binks, the guy who played him, got like totally just destroyed and hated and then basically cut out of the two and three. And the kid that played Anakin was like literally bullied, like, you know, like terribly just for getting cast, you know? And Hayden Christensen, I think I loved him. I know he got a lot of shade for acting or whatever, but I thought he was a great actor and a great choice to play Anakin. And I remember when he first got cast, another indie movie came out called Life as a House that he was in. He plays this like angsty, like, have you seen that, Life as a House?
No, I haven't
It's
seen that.
really good. It's like it's a really good film. It's with him and Kelvin Kline, and his father basically brings out his just troubled son. He's an estranged father. He brings out his troubled son to build a house for the summer. It's really powerful, really good movie. And you kind of see, I remember that being a big kind of part of me wanting to be an actor almost at the time, because I was around his age. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's getting cast in Star Wars. And then he was really good in that Life as a House movie. So I love him as an actor, and I hope it's cool to see him back in the spotlight. And I want to see what else he does in his career, because I think he's got a lot of he's got a lot more in him, I think.
Yeah,
I like him.
and also he, you know, he came back again as Vader in the Obi-Wan series, and I think he's gonna appear again as Vader in the Ahsoka series, which is coming soon.
That's
And
cool.
yeah, that's pretty cool. And the fact that he, yeah, I mean, yeah, as I said, I mean, those films, yeah, the last one was definitely the best. And then to see him back as Vader in the Obi-Wan stuff, I was like, that's so cool. You know, at least for a short while every now and then, but I was like, okay, that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, no, I want to see him do other characters. I feel like we're gonna get surprised by him probably in the next 10 years. I think he's gonna pull out like some crazy, I think just Heath Ledger style performance, and you know, I see a great actor in him. I always have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe he will come back as, for example, Brendan Fraser. You know, he was away for what 10 years, something like that, and then he comes back, makes a film, wins an Oscar. That's it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I could see that happening with him, honestly. And he seems like such a nice guy, too.
Yeah,
in his interviews. So,
Now for the last one here, we got The Matrix.
Oh yeah, now you're speaking my language. I love that movie. I love it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
probably in my top five. Just the philosophy behind it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's so good. It's so good. And the action, it was groundbreaking. I saw that in theaters too. I remember going to see that in theaters, and I left a changed man. That was like,
yeah, was like, the whole like a bullet time scene. I think was the first time they were actually putting a lot of CGI on it. You know, it was pretty, it was new. It was something fresh.
The fight scenes were incredible in the first Matrix. And then they went way too CGI heavy in the sequels. Right. Remember, like, it was like watching a video game in the sequels, and it got really weird.
The second one, I didn't quite like it, but I did enjoy the last one. You know, when they are making like the whole fight with the machines and the big robot with the machine gun and the shooting. I mean, that was super cool. But the first one has like a spot to it.
I like the trilogy, but I like it. And I even enjoyed the second one when I was younger. I was like, oh, this is cool, badass action. Like, that's all I needed at the time. Yeah. But watching it now, you're like, oh, wow, they got away with some pretty shady CGI. But the first one is a masterpiece. The Wachowski brothers. Also, you know, I think they wrote V for Vendetta, too, which is another just masterpiece film.
Yeah, that was a really good one, too. I did watch it later on, later. But yeah, it was a really good one.
Yeah. I think there's a common misconception that they directed that. They didn't. It's the first assistant director of The Matrix directed V for Vendetta. But overall, it's their movie. I think they wrote the screenplay for it. And what they did with The Matrix, that movie is 100% a classic. It's on my top 10 list. The action, the grittiness, like the difference between the Matrix world and the casting of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the Matrix, we probably wouldn't have John Wick. We wouldn't have this resurgence of Keanu, right? But he was so good as Neo, like this kind of like, just the, like they just cast perfectly for him. Cause he kind of had a little bit of he felt just the looks that he has, you know, he was just the perfect guy. And you know, originally they offered Will Smith the role. Did you know that?
Yeah I did hear that one, but he went for Wild West instead of
because he read the script and was, I don't get it or whatever, he also is on record, he said that he would have messed up that movie because he would have played him like, you know, Will Smith at the time had a lot of ego and he had a lot of like charisma and swagger, but what Keanu did so well was he was so minimal, like he played it so perfectly, like it something almost, you know, I guess to go with the trilogy, something almost like godlike about him because he's so unmovable and
emotionless
emotionless. And I think he got called out a little bit at the time for cardboard performance or whatever, but I think they just cast the right guy at the right time for that role because it was perfect. It was exactly what that character needed.
Yeah. I mean, that film is the whole bank scene, you know, when they are like shooting the guards, you know, and having like multiple guns everywhere. You know, he basically is taking a gun everywhere, boots, you know, like all of that behind his coat. I mean, that was definitely, I remember watching that on theaters too, and I was just like so excited about it. I was like, this is really cool, you know, this is pretty exciting. Yeah.
Did you watch the fourth one?
Don't get me there, man. Don't take me there. I mean, I did watch it, but you know, so here's the thing, I would have preferred if they say that it's in the Matrix, you know, Matrix universe. That's cool.
Yeah.
Don't bring Neo. Don't bring Trinity. Don't bring anything of that back. Let's say, you know, they're dead. Cool. Okay. But it's in the universe. That would perhaps be different for me. I'd be like, okay, so they're trying to explore the universe. Okay, let's see what happens. But man, yeah, it felt bad for me. I didn't watch it in films. I watched it on HBO later on, and yeah, I was just dragging myself to watch it because I can't watch it anymore,
I know, man. I know. And the trailer got me so hyped for it too. I remember like the trailer was like it felt so like Matrixy, and it was like if you go chasing rabbits, and then like I was so hyped, but you know. What can you do?
Yeah, that's the
Can't.
thing. That's the thing here. I mean, and I remember like the trailer was super cool, but I was expecting, like to see old Neo stuff, gun actions, John Wick. I was like, okay, I mean, this guy did John Wick. I mean, what can we expect on this one? Come on. And then no, there's no guns. And basically at some point, Neo becomes like a background character, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, I was just not the right. I mean, perhaps some people like it, and that's their taste, fine. But at least to me, no, it hit super wrong. I was like, why they did that? Why?
Did you ever watch it came out with the Matrix? It was when I was working at the video store. I remember there was another DVD that came out with the Matrix called Animatrix. Have you seen
Oh,
that?
I did watch that one, and that was yeah, that was that. The other day I saw on Netflix, what was it called? The whole they did an animated version for the video game called Cyberpunk. I don't know. So I think it was Edge Runner, something like that. But anyway, my point here is that the Edge Runner show, based on like the whole Cyberpunk, basically got me remind me a little bit of the Animatrix they released before. I don't know if they were like the
Cool.
same people, but they were. Yeah, I did watch the even the anime was pretty cool. I mean, if they have done got like something like that for the new one, I would have been totally fine with it. Be like, yes, let's do it. For the whole chaos they ended up creating, and yeah, I just felt bad because I was like, this franchise was like on their glory, and basically they let it die in the most horrific way possible, at least to me,
Oh yeah, no, there's something. I don't, it might just be catching lightning in a bottle or something, but whatever happened with that first one was just perfect. So it was almost hard to follow up. It's almost like you make this like, you know, you make this total masterpiece, and then they say, oh, we want a sequels for it, you know? So they're thinking like, how do we one up this? And it just got really convoluted. Going with the basic idea of like you've got the Matrix and then you've got this like real world, like just kind of going with that. I think there was a lot to explore, and if any movies, like I know reboots are a thing nowadays, it would be really cool actually, I think, to see what they could do if they could kind of restart the Matrix franchise, in the sense of maybe, you know, I don't know, it would just be really cool to see what they could do, especially with today's effects and
Yeah, it would be crazy if you do that. I would be definitely be interested in that. But as I said, I mean, if they're gonna be releasing like a new mate, I mean, I don't think they're gonna be that bold to release another Matrix film. I don't think. I mean,
Oh, they will eventually.
Crap.
Probably, maybe not in our life. Well, probably in our lifetime, but they will. I mean, it's still a
They have
property
to.
that I think holds to this day. It's so like they teach courses on it in universities. Like it's,
Really?
yeah, there's like
Okay.
philosophy courses on the Matrix and this and the like almost like it's a religion in the in the sense, because it spawned like a whole cultural movement, you know, like red pill, blue pill, like you know, there's all these constant uses of it even today, you know, in so many different forms. So it's a yeah, it's that movie was groundbreaking.
Yeah, that was incredible. And and also, like, for example, another thing that yeah, like for example, with the whole John Wick films, the first one is incredible. I loved it. Definitely the best for me. And but then I hate when studios are like, oh, this film made a lot of money. Let's stretch as much as we can and make a sequel, trilogy, four, five, six, seven. I don't care. Let's stretch as much. Because at some point, at least to me, I mean, it loses like their essence. I mean, don't get me wrong. John Wick films are incredible action films,
I
sure.
love those. Yeah, it's action.
Yeah, I mean, there is basically a lot of gun fu basically, which is super cool. That's what
Totally.
we want to do. But in terms of the whole of the whole like story backstory, like all of that, the first one got was like the yeah, it was special because you could totally see that they were not thinking about making a saga out of it. They were totally making like we're gonna make a film, just one, see what happens, And you can totally see that. And that's why, at least to me, it was really cool. The fact that, so we got this guy that he retires, but turns out that he was like the boogeyman, and some idiot kid ended up stealing his car and killing his dog. And then he went on this rampage. I was like, that's so cool. You know, that's totally relatable, you know, for, you know?
Oh, dude. Story structure wise, too, you know, I'm a script nerd. And one of the common things, you know, in Save the Cat or whatever, it says you've got the character gets called to action at a certain point in the script, and then they have to, there's the debate section where they say no. And you know, and it's that whole thing where they're like, I don't know if I'm going to do this or whatever. And it's just, it's so amazingly clear that the writers were just like having fun with that, because they basically are like, John, I need you to do this. And he's like, no. And then, like, the scene later, he just blows up his house with, like, a rocket launcher. And then he's like, okay. It's like,
yeah.
It was just, it's just so amazingly it's formulaic, but, like,
yeah.
Awesome. So simple.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Now that you mentioned that, like, okay, cool.
Yeah, boom. He just changes, like, he finds... Like in a
I blow up your house and then okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, yes. Like it's, but they're just, I think, having fun. They're poking fun at Hollywood structure too, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I was gonna say, did you see Barbie yet?
Oh man, I haven't. I'm dying to watch it, but I haven't. What about you? Did you watch it?
I just remembered to just go back to the Matrix, but how relevant that movie is to today. They have a Matrix joke in Barbie, which is like, if you think about it, like, what, Matrix came out like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's like a joke where all of a sudden everybody laughs in the audience. I was in a full theater, and she gets like kind of a spoiler, but not really, so don't worry. But she like holds up like Kate McKinnon's character holds up like a heel and a Birkenstock. And it's like, if you know, you can choose the heel and you'll, you know, live in dream world.
Okay. Totally.
Or a Birkenstock. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious. Like, but the fact that that is still being referenced in a billion-dollar movie is like a testament to how timeless I think Matrix is, and like how it's seeped into our culture.
Yeah,
like,
it became an icon.
Like so many other, like, it's so hard to do that as a film, to become. And remember, it was like, even for the last 10 years after, there were so many parodies of it, and, you know, and the bullet time parody, mm-hmm, scary movie. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the Matrix was a...
It's incredible when they manage to do that. Like also, for example, with the whole Back to the Future trilogy. I mean, it's incredible that even till this day, there's people watching it for the first time, and that film still is relevant. It's still an icon. You know,
yeah.
I do think that when you manage to create such a film that will basically stay forever, you know, I'm super sure that in 50, 60, 70 years, there's gonna be people talking about The Matrix, the Back to the Future, you know, like those type of films, because they actually, I would say that they mark. Yeah, they became culture. They became an icon to it. So it's amazing when they do that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, that would be cool to see what people think about The Matrix in The Matrix 4 in 50 years. I want to know. You know?
I think we'll probably be living in some sort of computer at that point. So I think like it'll basically just be reality. Like everyone's going to be in their little virtual reality like headsets, just not leaving their house, living in their pods, you know.
It's crazy right?
And then there'll be a few people in the real world, like in the gritty real world, like, you know, trying to just do their thing, who don't want to just become one with the machine.
You know, I mean, maybe we are going like a little bit out of topic, but it's incredible how the whole AI virtual stuff is going like super fast. You know, the other day I was just, you know, like just checking around AIs and things like that. And it's just incredible. Like I was just in shock, like how fast they have worked on that, you know? I mean, because back then you will see it in films and you were like, come on, you know, that was fun. But now the fact that you can, for example, with you know, for like ChatGPT and other AI stuff like that is around, it's scary to see how they are, like how fast they're working on. And with the whole virtual reality, that I'm super sure that at some point it's going to be, as you mentioned, that everyone is going to be living in pods. And the real world is going to be like all in ruins, you know, or like something like that, you know, and then, you know, think of that, because it's scary how fast. I mean, if you think about like how technology has advanced in the last 10 years, it's mind blowing. It's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, my concern, and it feels like the way we're going is, yeah, people will want to be in those worlds, because those worlds are going to be so much more. I mean, we're already kind of seeing it with video games and even social media, like the fact that a lot of us are just so consumed by social media, spending 2-3 hours a day on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, what mm-hmm. What about when our, like, we are literally living in, like, it's so real that you could do whatever you want. You have as much money as you just, you know, you're just literally like living in a real life GTA, just running around, just doing whatever you please.
Yeah.
Or then you come back to the real world. And like you said, if, you know, it's just going to be so enticing to people to be in that, I think, is the scariest part. It's not going to be forced upon anybody. It's going to be what they're going to want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And also it scares me the fact that that at some point they will try to use AI to do human stuff. You know, that is one of the things that kind of, I mean, I know that that is difficult to happen because at the end of the day, you know, you need the human touch to it, you know, and I do think that there's no machine would ever be able to actually create something with the human touch. I mean, not at this point, at least. But yeah. But yeah, I'm a little bit, I was like a little bit like worried, like thinking about like, what if, like, at some point, because it might happen that, for example, certain jobs will be switching off for AI now and leaving people like without a job and anything, like, you know, like things like that. That at some point, I'm super sure that's gonna happen. That's inevitable. But yeah, it's scary. You know what I mean?
I think about this a lot, and you know. I was even talking to an actor friend the other day about Neuralink, right? There's that thing, Neuralink, that's like a chip in the brain. And
yeah,
we're talking about Google Brain and all this stuff that's starting to come out where people are able to access information immediately with their brain. So, you know, the obvious path to this is it's going to be like, you know, say you and I are going out for a roll together, you know, and you have Google Brain and I don't have Google Brain. And say it's like a big TV series that, you know, you have to memorize like 20 pages of text and just spread it off in a day, and they give it to you the day before. And here I am just sweating, trying to like learn it all. And you're just like, you just, ding, you input it, you know it all. And you're just able to, you know, brilliant, like it's just there for you just to pull from as you're like auditioning. You know what I mean? So like eventually it's not necessarily that like it's the competition that's going to put people on, because if you don't have this thing, you're not going to be competitive in certain industries anymore. You know what I mean? And it'll probably become a requirement from some positions. It's like, you know, must have Google Brain or
exactly.
Whatever.
3 years of experience, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Three years of experience plus Google Brain.
Yeah. 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 You know? Yeah. That's going to be crazy. And also like, imagine what I think when that happens, there will be no language barrier anymore.
Oh, you know? Not at all.
Not at all.
We're almost at the point where it's gone with the use of my phone. I can just speak English into it, and then it will just say back in whatever language I want.
Whatever language I say. Yeah, but yeah, I do.
Have you? There's this great. What is it called? Captions. It's an app called Captions, and you can record yourself. So it's crazy. I'll record myself saying a video. I'm like, hey, I'm here with chat with Dan. You know, make sure you watch it. It's gonna be awesome. Boom. And before I export, I just say turn to Japanese, and then it literally takes my voice
and switches
and makes
Japanese.
Me speak
yeah.
Japanese.
I saw that. Yeah.
And then I export the video and whatever, I send it to Japan, and it's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's going to be crazy when that happens. I mean, I'm super sure that it's going to happen anytime soon, you know,
dude.
Yeah, I mean, when that happens, there will be no longer barrier. Yeah, there will be no language barrier anymore. And I think at that moment, it's when like countries like Japan, China, you know, like that they really have a difficult language. It's gonna be like a lot easier for everyone, like to know about things like that. But it's true what you mentioned too, that it's gonna make the competition. I mean, if right now it's super hard, it's gonna be like way too hard. And to be honest, I don't know if at some point they will be telling me like we can put you that chip in your brain. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just old school, but I don't know, man. Well, I mean, I will have like this debate in my head. Like, do I really want a piece of something that is not my body to be inside of my brain? You know, yeah. I mean, what if the thing has a whole malfunction, you know, and then I go crazy, you know, things like that, which there's this video game called Cyberpunk that they touch on that subject, you know, when you have like a cyberkosis and then you get all crazy, you know, and you know, I don't know, like if like whenever that happens, the other day I was checking that there are some countries that they will put you like a chip here on your wrist, and you
oh,
can
yeah.
actually pay stuff now, you know?
Yep.
That is
Yeah,
linked to
people
your
are
credit.
volunteering for that. Yeah.
And I was just like, do I really want? I mean, what is going to happen now that people are going to when they go when they want to rob you, they're going to chop off your hand now? Or
Oh, God.
you know, like, what is it going to happen now? I mean, as I said, I mean, technology is it's amazing, it's great, but I just think that at some point you'd stop and be like, okay, what are we doing right now? Because it is, yeah, at least to me, like, could you believe? I mean, I can understand for a medical standpoint, for example, if you had an accident and then, you know, unfortunately they had to remove your arm, but they can put you like a prosthetic one, you know, like a whole robo one, you can be moving again like normally. That's beautiful, that's perfect. But to actually put like implants, you know, or like things like that to either to live longer or to have like more stuff, I don't know, man. You know, I'm just like a little bit, you know.
I hear you. I do. I think about this a lot because I feel like it's the future that we're plummeting towards. I was watching documentaries about it 10 years ago plus, like about transhumanism and like these like the push to kind of meld with machine, and that's how humans are gonna, like a lot of wealthy people, that's how they want to like live and extend their life to like 200, 300 years, you know, just like kind of being able to meld. And my question is like, at what point aren't you human anymore? And I think that's a very fair question because, you know, I have friends with prostetics. I have friend, you know, if I'm sure there's people out there with pacemakers, like I'd still consider them human, right? Like just because you've got some sort of device that's like helping you serve, like you're still human, right? So, but my big question and my big philosophical kind of query, I guess, is like, yeah, at what point aren't you human anymore? Like you can have full bionic arms and legs and you're still human. You can have a pacemaker, you're still human. Once you start dealing with the brain and putting, you know, things in your brain,
Yeah,
that's
that's
where I feel like we're
scary.
becoming something else. Like we're not quite human anymore. Once you're, you know, it's a new species almost.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, imagine that at some point you can have surgery in your eyes, and they will put some bionic eyes now, and then so you can have like a bunch of Zoom, you know, you will have
Oh,
you
yeah.
watch things everywhere, you know, but they will have to remove your original eyes to put those eyes, like those bionic stuff to you. Yeah, I
Dude,
mean, it's
crazy
crazy.
times. And you want to become a professional archer, so
Yeah, you can be a
like,
sniper, you know, you can shot
oh,
somewhere
yeah.
like around, I don't know, 200 meters without like a sight or anything, just by watching it, be like, okay, I got it, you know, things like that. That's
That's where
crazy.
it gets scary to me. It's not, you know, on the surface, I think most people are going to say, no, I don't want that thing in my head. But once the competition aspect comes in and you can't get a job without it, that's when it's going to become, I think, a real thing where people are going to be like, well, why not? You know, why
Yeah,
not? Oh.
did you ever watch this film? I mean, it's an old one with Jude Law, that basically on that film they were having like this type of a world that people will have, you know, like prosthetics and things like that. And if you can pay them, they will call the repo man,
Oh,
who,
yeah.
you know, it's an old one, but I remember that one
It's a
was
great film.
it's an incredible one. But now that you think of it, I mean, at some point that's gonna happen too, you know, that the repo man is gonna come for your prosthetics if you don't like pay
Yeah.
stuff and things like that. You know, it's crazy.
I think I actually read an article that was almost like about that, where this woman got a transplant or something. And don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that that is like happened in the States at some point where like she got this huge loan for it and they wanted it back. Like, I forget exactly what happened, but we are getting to that point where there's actually before that Jude Law movie came out, there was a musical, which I think you'd like. It's called Repo at the Genetic Opera. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. No,
Have
I
you seen?
haven't.
Oh, you'd like it. It's Anthony Head, who played Giles and Buffy. He plays the Repo Man, but it's a musical about this guy who goes around and takes back organs for this corporation. It's really good. It's like a horror musical. But yeah, that's a scary thought. It's a really scary thought, but we're so close to that, you know? And
I mean, at the end, hopefully. When that comes, I mean, I don't know. I mean, when that happens, we'll see. But at the moment, it's scary to kind of. I mean, the more, I mean, we could be chatting about hours about this topic because yeah, and we can go even darker, you know, about that. I
I
don't
like
like
this stuff.
the
I like
whole.
this kind of stuff, though. I think this is I think a lot of actors and artists like love talking about this kind of thing because it's just interesting, you know? Like, we could talk about movies all day long, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, how are the top 10 movies going to affect the future generations? And are we going to, you know, but talking about like these kind of real ideas, and it gets your even stuff you've been saying today gets your creative juices flowing. Oh my God. Like the idea of stealing someone's wallet by chopping off their arm.
Yeah. Imagine that
future.
instead of here, here's my wallet. No, give me your hand. No, you're kidding me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's actually like, that's right around the corner, you know? So
yeah,
I like talking about these kind of things because they're fascinating, A, and B, they're like relevant, you know? Like AI is such a topic of conversation right now because like with the strikes, as I'm sure you've talked to actors about, it's like, I don't know how this is going to go. It's crazy. The technology's out of the bag. The cat's out of the bag. I don't even know how do you even push it back in at this point? I don't have the answers.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to talk about.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, as we were saying, like the whole, for example, with the whole ChatGPT, I mean, you can get anything in just a quick seconds, you know. The other day I was just playing with ChatGPT and be like, okay, I want to see, you know, make me a script about a film regarding a police officer. Like 2 minutes, 2 minutes later, poof, I already have like a script. And I was like, that is crazy. You know, I was like, okay. But yeah. the thing that I was thinking of is like, okay, I mean, yeah, technology is doing that right now for sure. But as I was saying before, I do think that is not. I mean, regardless of how incredible the script an AI might put, it's not gonna be the same one as a regular human, you know, doing it like the old way, things like that. I mean, at the end of the day, we want stories that we can relate somehow. And I do think that an AI, no matter how advanced can be at some point, will never be able like to replicate that. You know what I mean?
I'd like to think that. I think that I'm a little bit more concerned in the sense of, I feel like there's the potential.
Yeah.
If these things are as smart as they seem to be and they're learning like a million times, you know, they're just learning so quickly. Storytelling is essentially about moving people, right? Mm-hmm. Taking them mm-hmm. on a journey. Once they understand human emotions and you know, like how to take people on an emotional journey.
Yeah.
I'm worried that it, like, they're all gonna, some of them are gonna do it much better than like humans. In the sense of, look at like influencers, right? Like they have a lot of influencers get a ton of views, this. Now there's new things cropping up that's like fake digital influencers. I don't know if you've seen these.
Yeah,
these
people. Yeah. I saw an article about
it. They're almost really hard to even tell if they're real or not.
Yeah.
And eventually, once they start to learn, like, you know, there's a strategy to social media, and there's like a, you know, hooks that you can give, and, you know, there's ways you can keep people's attention and all this stuff. So like once it's able to kind of figure out exactly how to keep people's attention with the video and the exact look and emotion and this and this and this, I'm, you know, because things have moved so quickly so far, it feels like to me, and I hope I'm wrong. Cause I would, you know, I would love to keep doing this career for the rest of my life and not have to compete with computers and like fake people.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm kind of seeing the writing on the wall in the sense of like, because these things are learning so quick, it's like I think they're going to be able to manipulate humans in the sense of A, not even letting them know they're real, and B, like figuring out the exact looks and mannerisms and vocal tone to just totally move people and take them on journeys. I think eventually, I don't know if it'll be in the next 20 years or so, but the way things are going so quickly, it's like, eventually I feel like they are going to be able to just to create some pretty powerful art from what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
And I understand why there's such a concern right now with the unions, just to be like, all right, we got to figure this shit out. Cause I think they see where it's going too, you know?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's as I was saying before, it's a shame that that big studios companies are doing that, you know, in order to save more money, you know? I mean, I hate when they do that because the other day I was talking about like, okay, what if in my other job that I have, you know, the one that pays bills, what if at some point they do that too? You know, what if one day they're like, you know what, we're not gonna use you anymore. We're gonna hire this AI who's gonna basically do everything for everything, plus like much like a lot more amount than what you usually do, plus more. Yeah. So you're fired. Good for you. Good luck and things like that. I mean, that is a thing that also people should be like more aware about. That the thing that is happening right now with the actors is like the tip of the iceberg of a whole lot of shitstorm that could happen to the rest of to the rest of us. You know, right now it's with the entertainment, but you know, in a couple of years might be other sectors, and then at some point we might not even need doctors anymore because an AI and you know, like the whole technology will be able to do things like that and yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, and I can I totally understand because I would be exactly the same thing, super angry about the fact that my job is in danger because of an AI, because of X or Y studio. Instead of actually being fair of it, they want to save much money they can, but like a lot they can in order to just being fair. You know what I mean? So
it's wild, and the craziest thing about all this is, you know. I think back, like you can even look back to when the tractor was invented. There was a big uproar. Like farmers were like, you're going to take us all to work. Because at that time, I think there was like 80% of jobs were farming. So when the tractor came out, people were angry. You know what I mean? Where I see this happening in other industries is like the self-checkout. Do you have self-checkouts where you are? Because all over the place in Toronto here, there are self-checkouts. And initially I was like, very hesitant to use the self-checkouts because I'm like, I want to deal with the person. But then these places started staffing so low that like there'd be these huge lineups at the person, and then there'd be like five empty self-checkouts. So they were starting to slowly push people to use the self-checkouts because if you want to get out of there in like 10 minutes, you got to go to the self-checkout. So there's a lot of times where robots are like robots, AI, whatever you want to call it, new technology is taking jobs away from people that could be doing them. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
so there's a lot of examples of this in many industries. There's going to be a fully automated McDonald's, I think, opening up soon, where it's just all robots that make the food, check out the like.
Yeah, everything. I heard that one. Yeah, I heard that one. They are serving food right now with I don't know. Yeah, I don't know in which place exactly, but I did forget hear what about country. That one.
So the fact that these, you know what I mean, and I get like, you know, being in the entertainment industry, I'm obviously very drawn to this specific time where robots are taking jobs, but there's so many other examples of this in other industries that it's like, you know, it's hard not to see that too, and to be like, do we care as much about these ones? And I think it really does come down to if you're affected, you know, if we personally are affected, then we're like, stop there. But, you know, I think there needs to be maybe a look at like everything as a whole to be like, okay, what are we going to do about this? If we're literally just taking jobs away from so many people that could work, and there's not enough jobs for people.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Yeah. That's the thing here that, the other day I was checking that at least here in Mexico in, 10 years, there's going to be like even less jobs because of the whole technology and everything. I mean, and that is only here in this country, but imagine like worldwide, like the exact amount of people that might be, that his job might be in jeopardy because of this whole stuff. I mean, I do think that they should be checking like the bigger picture, you know, like actually the bigger picture, be like, okay, as you mentioned, how where should we stop? You know, otherwise it's going to be like in multiple films in which robots, they take over, and then you have the human side, which is a rebellion, which is against it, you know, and they're basically fighting them because taking jobs and things like that. It's crazy. Or what if an AI suddenly becomes sentient, you know, and goes wild, which we know that in a lot of films that happens. So and it's like we're heading there, and it's like, no, I mean, haven't you learned from Terminator or other type of films? Don't do that. You know what I mean?
The craziest thing that I'm seeing, and it's like it doesn't really get shown in too many movies, but it's kind of the more the reality of it is how quickly people embrace the new technology. You know, it's never like, it's never really a fight. It's like, oh, something new and easier, great.
Yeah.
like, you know what I mean? Like, you, in the movies, there's just big debates and, you know, and all these people that are against it. But it seems like a majority of people are like, oh, great, I get to just pay with my arm now. Perfect. Beep.
Yeah, no more wallets. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, I don't have to think anymore at my job. Perfect. Put it in me.
Yeah, no more cell phone, no ID. Everything is on the brain. If the police want to check it, they're just going to put a scanner here, be like, oh, so you're this guy. Cool, you can, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, I can just magically, yeah, there's so many, it's pretty wild, like, just how...
Yeah, it's crazy wild.
How accepted it becomes so quickly, you know? Even the self-checkouts, I noticed it for a long time, there was a little bit of a hesitancy. It didn't take long, though, even for myself. Like, I'll be honest, like, I was kind of protesting it in my own way, just by, like, I want to say hi to a person, but it just got... The waits became too long, and honestly, the people were not really, you know, they were, I don't know if they're purposely staffing just people that were miserable, but they didn't seem very happy. I was like, all right, I'll just, you know, it's pretty wild, just
super wild. And also, and also super quick that there are some people who are actually chatting more with AIs that with real people, you know, that there is now this AI that basically it can be. The other day I was reading an article about that I don't know in which country they're having a problem because people are relying to having relationships, like sexual relationships, with an AI instead of an actual person. I was like, are you kidding me now? You know, like, what the, you know, like, and we are totally heading that way. You know, that is like the train is going, the train is coming. So
you mix that with the robots that they're making, like the sex robots with the AI, and they're gonna say everything that you want to hear. You know, it's a pretty wild time. It's I don't know how this is gonna pan out for humanity, but it's fascinating time to be alive. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, it's a cool topic by far. Yeah,
I think I'd rather be alive now than in like 50. You know, it's just cool that we're living through this because I feel like in 50 years, it's either going to go one way or another, but it's. I think people are just going to be basically living in the, like, to bring it back to the Matrix, but it'll be like living in the Matrix. So, but right now we're kind of at this cusp where we're like deciding whether or not we're going to enter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like in Wall-E, remember that everyone was living, that people were just living on their couch. Everything had to work, but like with technology and robots, we'll do all the other jobs, and people will be just laying in the couch and everything near, you know, I'm super sure that's going to, it's crazy.
For a lot of folk, that's what it's going to be like.
Crazy times. I mean, yeah. Wow. I mean, at the end, what can I say, man? I mean, incredible conversation here. We basically got off topic because of the Matrix. I mean, that's, imagine, you know, the Matrix caused that. but yeah, incredible topic here. Really cool. We basically spoke about a lot of stuff here. But I have a question here. If we, like, the last question basically is, if we could make a film out of the episode we just did right now, what would be the title of it?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for some reason, out of everything that we talked about, the thing that's like sticking out the most is the robbery of like the people getting chipped and like having to like chop the hands off. So what would we call that? I think like something about a future, like a dystopian future. The plot of the movie is some sort of dystopian future where everyone's like implanted with things and whatnot. But what to call it? I mean, would call it
Future with no hands.
Future with no hands. That's a working title. What about something about like? There's something about like when you hand robbery, theft, Oh, caught red-handed.
Caught red-handed?
Some, I don't know. I'm just we know that the episode is like, we know we're going down a dystopian route with this movie. So let's we got to settle in a title.
What about Chopping the Future?
Chopping the Future. I like it. All right, Chopping the Future, or something about Chopping the Future. All right, or that's my favorite.
Or the Chopping Time Heist.
Ooh, yes. Okay, I like this.
Yeah.
Time.
Like he has
Yeah.
time, future, theft, heist,
There
chopping,
we go.
and you know,
Chopping time
chopping time heist.
heist.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Perfect.
All
That's our
right.
the next top 10 movie of all time.
That's gonna be a title of it. I mean, yeah, we have a title of it. I mean, at the end, what can I say, man? I mean, it's incredible. It's always incredible to have you back here, and always it's always incredible to have a chat with you. I want to thank those who watch this. Thank you so much, and those who stay here, let me know what you think in the comments below. If you agree or not, if you want to add something else, let us know. But also, as I said in the beginning, in the description below, you're gonna find all of James' social media. Let's follow him. Let's make him viral. You know, hashtag Team James, because he's incredible. And again, man, thank you so much for making this happen. Keep killing it. Keep being this incredible, amazing, badass dude you are. And hey. I'll be seeing the next one.
Thanks, brother. Always great chatting.
All right.
Cheers.